gauging the impact of Osama bin Laden's death on global markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Within minutes of the news of Osama bin Laden's death, jubilant Americans gathered outside the White House in Washington and at the World Trade Center in New York, or they registered their excitement on Facebook and Twitter. But there has also been strong reaction in global markets, and that's what we're going to talk about now with our correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. He's with us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, tell us about the market reaction we're seeing so far.
Well, the dollar is rejoicing. It's up, and so are European stock markets. Gold, however, is down, and so is oil.
Well, obviously, this news is the kind of thing that we all have an emotional reaction to, Stephen, but why are people reacting with their money?
The thinking seems to be that the world's just become safer and more secure. So investors have pulled their money out of so-called safe havens like gold and put it into what are seen as riskier assets like shares. And the hope is bin Laden's death will lead to less terrorism and tension in the Middle East. That's prompted the fall in oil prices. Also, the general feeling is the US has scored an important victory in the war on terror here, and that has helped lift the dollar.
And a lift in the dollar, perhaps a lift in consumer confidence. Is there a negative side to all of this jubilation that we're seeing in the markets?
Well, yes, according to Robert Cole of the financial website Breaking Views, he says, ironically, this good news for the U.S. government could have an adverse effect on the U.S. government's ability to pay its way, because if the world is a safer place, he says, that could make U.S. government bonds less attractive.
This has been the ultimate safe haven over the last 10 years. If people are getting more adventurous, perhaps money will come out of treasuries, which means that actually it could cost the US government more in interest going forward.
Stephen, I have to say I still have a little bit of skepticism here that that the death of one individual, even if it's Osama bin Laden, could have all of these consequences in global markets.
Indeed, analysts are saying that these market moves today are likely to be fleeting and that it's much too early to assume that the world is a safer place. Indeed, the U.S. State Department has warned of reprisals from al-Qaeda.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard with the business side of the bin Laden story. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe this morning, about 0.7% higher in Frankfurt right now. Chrysler said this morning it earned $116 million last quarter. That's the automaker's first profit since leaving bankruptcy. And the merger between low-cost airlines Southwest and AirTran is expected to be finalized today. The Justice Department says the merger is not likely to reduce competition, but some analysts say the fewer airlines out there, the more expensive tickets will be. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 47 points to close at 12,810.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
So what does Osama bin Laden's death mean for the funding of al-Qaeda? We're going to explore that side of the story now with terror financing expert Bill Tupman. He's at the University of Exeter in the UK, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, if we think of al-Qaeda as a company and bin Laden at the top, how does the death of the chairman of al-Qaeda, if you will, affect the financing of the organization?
You want to think of it as a franchise company rather than a great big pyramidal structure with a CEO at the top. And you really want to think of Osama as the original founder of the company, who's sort of been elevated to a sort of presidential, honorific role. He's not involved in the day-to-day stuff, and you want to think of it as a business that's got lots and lots of self-financing operations going on, although obviously the headquarters operation needs its own stream of funding.
So what happens to the fundraising effort for al-Qaeda with the death of its president, as you say?
It's still possible possible to use him as an icon, an advertising image. You want to think of him as a sort of Che Guevara type of figure. You know, you can still sell T-shirts with his face on. The thing that Osama had going for him was all his personal contacts in Saudi Arabia with incredibly rich people. But after he had to run from Tora Bora, all the contacts had to be made by intermediaries, not by him himself. The fact that he's an icon means that you can use him in a different way to raise money than the way in which he himself personally visited people to raise money.
Officials often track finances to find the people that they're looking for. Do you think that terror financing tracking worked in this case, played a role?
Financing used to be tracked through the banks. In this case, it's been transported as cash. After 2001, a lot of al-Qaeda funding was moved around by bagmen, people carrying it around in suitcases in the form of cash and delivering it as seed core funding. You know, here's $50,000. That's to start you off. You've then got to create your own self-funding organization after that.
Bill Tupman of the University of Exeter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we've got more coverage of the business side of the bin Laden story at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, some non-bin Laden news to leave you with this morning from the world of sharks. A study out today from the Australian Institute of Marine Science finds sharks are less valuable as a meal, by far, than they are as a tourist attraction. Researchers say the sharks around the island nation of Palau are worth just $10,800 each when they're sold in pieces for food. But if those same sharks are left to swim with the tourists, they're worth $179,000 each when you add up the money divers spend on airfare, hotels, and, of course, those scary dive trips. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't ask, don't tell is still the law, so colleges and universities that don't let military recruiters on campus don't get federal dollars.
On average, it probably costs the law school about $500,000 a year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the price you pay for taking a stand. Next time on Marketplace, today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well, from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.